Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Even though, as you know, I have a little stray that I had adopted, Jackie Chan Kitty, who would not leave me alone, who's actually curled up next to me, which is my furry little co-host. And I am so super excited. I'm actually drinking coffee. Maybe I shouldn't be drinking coffee right now because this guest is utterly amazing. I'm so blown away and I feel so humbled. I feel like I'm going to cry, but it's just something, things that I've watched growing up, and you all know that my big dream is to work with Jackie Chan, one scene side by side, but as I was growing up, watching many shows like MacGyver and watching the film American Ninja and stuff, and, you know, seeing all that stuff, because, you know, I didn't ever really wanted to be a Barbie, I wanted to play a ninja. The thing is, I got in contact with this stunt guy who's been in the business for many, many years. I am so blown away. I've talked with him on the phone. His name is Stephen Lambert, and I hope I have said his name correctly because I do have a Boston accent. I kind of talk funny sometimes, but when I was looking at his pitches, and if you look up his IMDb page, I was so floored and blown away. And I'm like, man, this guy has worked with Pacino. He's worked with James Woods. He's worked on The Sin of MacGyver. And I've seen pitches where he's jumping out of a helicopter in a ninja suit. I am so just blown away. I just have to bring him on. And I'm so super excited. And I think he's been waiting patiently. So let me see. I hope this is him in the, my little cue here. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
And a good day to you, Shelley. This is Steve Lambert.
Hello, Stephen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As Jackie Chan in his language would say, shushé, thank you. I am so humbled that you are on my show. I cannot believe this.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Or as Robin Williams once said, good morning, Vietnam.
Oh, my gosh. Good morning, Vietnam. Oh, my gosh. I'm sitting here. I'm going... I'm trying to get ready, you know, taking a shower, trying to get on the show, you know, trying to recover from sickness and stuff, and I'm trying to get back to being Shelley, you know, and I'm sitting here going, so far, so good. I'm sitting up, and I'm feeling good. I'm so super excited that you're on the air, and I have to say, I was peeping your Facebook account a lot to check out your pictures, because I was like, he was a ninja jumping out of a helicopter. I'm all excited. I'm all turned on. I'm going, oh, that ninja, right? And you were actually doing the stunt.
Yes, well, first of all, I want to say it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm so happy. And I feel so honored because just working to get to this point and to have people like you on my show, I just don't know what to say. And but I do have tons of questions, and I know
well,
I'm going to have you.
Too.
Yes?
I have a question, too. There's a rumor going around that I heard that you want to challenge me to a cage fight. And I just want to let you know that the only time I fight women is in the movies.
Oh, where did you hear that from? Oh, my gosh, no.
I'm only joking.
No, you don't understand, because I know people, you know how they turn around and say things, because I had Johnny Crang on my radio show one time, and someone on him, one of his pages, said that he actually met Sammo Hung, which was one of Jackie Chan's brother, by dressing up as a janitor to get, you know, like, kind of snuck on to the set when he actually met Sammo, but he didn't do that. And John is like, where did you get the information? I go, someone wrote it on your page, and that's why I mentioned to it. So someone could have said something to me around, so I'm like, nope. I would never challenge anybody. No. But, you know, even kidding around, I'd be like, nope. I would never do that. I would never challenge anybody, especially someone with your expertise. Oh, hell to no.
Only in the movies.
Yeah. In the movies, it's fun because it's all planned. I mean, they got mats on the ground. Sometimes you got padding and stuff. Sometimes you don't. I don't have the experience actually working with padding. Anytime I've got thrown around on the ground, no padding.
In the movies, you're allowed to hit women. For real life, you should never do that.
Yes, that's true. No. But also, too, the other way, you shouldn't have to hit anybody in the first place, whether it be a man or woman, because you can have a disagreement without becoming violent. Or you know, if you're trying to prove your point, you don't have to belittle someone. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to say, well, you're an idiot, blah, blah, blah. To prove your point without belittling, that's the point of having a discussion, whether you're right or wrong, right?
You are absolutely right.
Yeah, and I know better, too, with training a little bit on and off in martial arts, you know, and I try to make people to a point, people think, oh, you must be a black belt stuff. I've been talking about years in martial arts. I go, no, I'm just an actress that likes to do her own stunts and, you know, some martial arts. I never claim to be a black belt or anything like that, and it's like, it's just on a shelf with what I have. That's all that I want to bring to the table, and I know I can bring it, and being able to bring it is how I found you.
Yes, I always say a black belt is just another color belt that holds up your pants.
It's
how true. Much you know.
Yes,
absolutely.
It's true.
Yep.
And I have a list of questions because I figure the thing I can start doing because I believe I am going to have you on the show a couple times. I came up with 10 questions. And I see, yeah, half-hour show is pretty good. But if we go on, that's perfectly fine. It's all fine and dandy because I will have you on the show a couple of times. You know, when you're able to be on my show, I'm very happy and excited. And to start off, to get right into the first question. I would like to know, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. It's home of Lady Liberty, the Empire State Building, Canarsie Pier, Coney Island, Nathan's Hot Dog, Stickball, Stoop Ball, Freeze Tag, things that I miss.
And it has changed a lot over the years because everything's about technology, but I still kind of grew up in that era. And I know what you're saying, like the ice cream man and all this stuff would come by the summertime. You'd open up the hydrants and you'd play in the water and you'd be outside. And we would have all this technology.
The good humor man. And you may want to ask me what the stickball and stoopball was, but that could be another conversation we could have in the future.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, I know what stickball was. I mean, it was just very hard because when we had stickball, and it was kind of almost like a baseball, but it was like a street game. But what they did is they took those, I don't know what the rubber balls, but what they did is they cut them in half where I lived, and I could never hit it because it wasn't a whole ball.
It was a broomstick, and, you know, kind of a stick that looked like a broomstick, and it was a rubber ball. One of the rubber balls were called Pinchy Pinkies or Small Deans, and we used to use the same ball for stoop ball, which you'd go on the stoop that have, you know, 8-10 steps, and you'd throw the ball against the stoop, and if you hit the point of it, it was 100 points. If it bounced once, it was 50 points. New York games.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, it was in Boston, too. You know, it's kind of like that kind of thing where, you know, in the neighborhood, that's what you would play. We didn't have money to do a lot of things, so we made things up, or, you know, kick the can and many different things. But I think they tend to get kind of a little violent afterwards because, you know, kids, we didn't think anything back then. Now it's like you do anything, you can get in trouble. But we would just, you know, street kids or whatever, and did whatever we could do to entertain ourselves because we didn't have it.
You're absolutely right. Too many rules now.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of other things, because, you know, as a child, you never think of, you know, when you're little, you want to grow up being an actor and stuff, but how did you get into acting? Did you get into martial arts first? Did you get acting first? How did that happen to you? How did that come about?
Well, I got into martial arts first, but that's a whole another subject. But acting, you know, a long, long time ago when I first started, I worked a year and a half extra. I think for all the people out there that want to be stuntmen or actors, it's very important to work as an extra because, you know, you learn how to perform and what to do on a set. And it's a tremendous knowledge because when you go on the set, you've got to know what they're talking about and what the procedure is. So it's very important to work extra. And when I got out of working extra, which was a year and a half later, my first year I got a job playing a bank robber with another stunt friend of mine, Chris Doyle. He was my cohort. And we were supposed to rob a bank and, you know, we were just supposed to shoot him up, rob the bank and run out. But sometimes in the middle of filming, a director or somebody comes up with an idea, like, why don't we have one of the guys do some dialogue? Now, you know, my first year into the business going straight SAG as a stunt guy, acting wasn't my deal. You know, I knew nothing of it, you know. And, of course, they picked me to do, you know, a couple of three lines. Well, I was terrified. I never had any acting experience, you know, just falling on my head. That was about it, doing stunts. Well, you know, we started, you know, three takes later, you know, they cut every time or they didn't print it. You know, the director would come over to me each time and say, you know, I want you to act more crazy because he wanted me to molest one of the tellers, one of the female tellers. And let alone I was so introverted and so quiet, you know, I never experienced anything like that. You know, and after about the third time, this old man comes over, and I say that with the utmost respect, and he's a security guard that I'm supposed to shoot before I go out of the bank and shoot him up. And he comes over to the director, and he says, would you leave him alone? The kid's doing fine, you know. And I looked at him, and I looked at the director, and the director listened to him. And I looked at my cohort, Chris Doyle, and said, who is that guy? So he goes, you don't know who that is? That's Bear Hutkins. And I said, I didn't know Bear Hutkins at the time. I said, who is Bear Hutkins? He's just a famous old stud guy, you know, Bear Hutkins. He worked with Clark Gable, and, you know, he went on, and I couldn't believe it, you know.
Whoa.
And, you know, we finished, and it was a print, and everybody was satisfied. And I just thought, you know, first of all, you know, talking about Bear Hutkins, I said to myself, here's a guy that has so much respect and honor in this business that a director would listen to him. You know, I'd never seen anything like that. Then second of all, I said, you know, I better go and take some acting lessons. So I took some acting lessons for about a year, which helped me through a lot of things. But then years later, I did a picture with James Woods. And we finished the picture and everything was fine. But during this picture, the director decided to use me to go through, if there's any action, you know, with dialogue, going from one place to another place in the scene to another place, he decided to use me to spot James Woods when he had to do dialogue and all that in between the action, right? And James Woods would see this, you know? And then when we finished the picture, a couple of months went by, I got a call from James Woods. He said he's producing a picture, and he's starring in a picture called The Cop. And he wanted me to play the lead bad guy. And I'm on the phone with him, and I said, well, first of all, Jimmy, I'm doing a picture with Chuck Norris. You know, I just signed to coordinate an action picture with Chuck Norris. And he said, well, you know, I want you to double me, and I also want you to play this co-star. And I said, Jimmy, I never really acted. You know, I've done two or three lines, you know, during some action sequences, playing myself with action in it. But I've never done that. So he says, do me a favor, take the picture, come on, work, you know, and I'll be your acting coach. So to make a long story short, for 2 months, two, three times a week, we would meet up, you know, before the picture, after the during the picture, and he would be my acting coach. And the 2 months were like 10 years. He gave me so much knowledge and taught me so much. It was just fabulous. So that's how I got started. Then I went on to do other acting, went to other acting schools, you know, which was just wonderful. But, you know, these days, if you want to do stunts, a lot of parts will match up with acting parts, you know, like an action actor. Instead of hiring an actor, they'd hire a stunt guy that could act. So it's very beneficial for you to out there to get some acting lessons. It's very important. Not only verbally, but body language is really important.
Yeah, that's what that's what, you know, with what you had just said, and that's a really cool story about what you're saying, because what you're saying, that's practically how I'm following meeting people, and it says, I don't want to just be, you know, somewhere in a classroom. I want to be with the people who have the experience, because they're the ones that actually worked on the set. They're the ones that can coach you. I mean, I have, you know, a great coach is my big brother, Horace the Cordeliz, and I've been working with him a couple of years. And he was actually out there from Hollywood and worked on the sets. And he helped me to believe in myself. And I've done a couple of things. And he's like, oh, you could bring it. But it's like, problem too is in acting, my self-esteem used to get in the way. And like, Shelly, I know you're really good at what you're doing. So I just had to find the people like yourself who I can communicate with, and they like can see what I have, and that helps me to bring it. So hearing your story, I feel like I can relate to that, and, you know, it's just like, I love it. That's why you have to be on my show quite a few times, because you're just full of all these stories, and I was like, I can go on and on, but I'll get on to the next question. The next question I have was there anyone that you ever truly ever wanted to work with?
Wow. Well, if I can go through time from back when until now, it would probably be people like Harold Lloyd, Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, the Fairbanks, Senior and Junior, James Cagney, Gene Kelly, John Wayne, Bruce Lee. I can go on and on, but those are people who, you know, I've always admired and looked up to, the performances and acting. You know, I named a lot of actors who were very physical, you know, Gene Kelly, Harold Lloyd. I mean, you know, that's why I named these people, because, you know, they were such great physical athletes, including acting, you know, such professionals that, you know, over the years, I you know, when I was a kid, I admired those guys. You know, Gene Kelly, I wanted to dance like Gene Kelly. You know, Harold Lloyd, you know, I mean, he was unbelievable physically. He was unbelievable, you know. And, of course, Bruce Lee, because of my martial art background.
Yeah, I think everybody, wants to work with Lee. What did you say, Stephen?
No, I was going to say even females like Debbie Reynolds, you know, tremendous actress, tremendous physical ability, you know, stunt women, old stunt women like Mary Higgins. Now, stunt people out there may not know Mary Higgins, but she was a great stunt woman in the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't know. It's like I'm just starting to really getting to know and connecting with other people, and I keep saying, because, you know, all the women out there, all the actresses, I hear all these women speaking, I like so-and-so. I don't even know who the people are. I'm trying to find women, you know, that are like myself. I've always had role models, like, you know, people like, guys like you, it's mostly men, and I'm like, you know, starting to find stunt women in the business, wow, she's really good, and it's like I'm trying to find out, you know, people I could look up years ago. What was stunt women? You just gave me one. You said her name was Mary Higgins. It's probably can do some research on her.
Oh, she was fabulous. Yeah, it's really nice to know where your roots go, you know, and past history, you know, from the 30s up until now, you know, but so many stunt people really don't care about that, you know, but some do, and it's really good to find out when they do, you know, past history. All they're worried about is stunts and getting work, but, you know, history in the movie business, in the action world, in the stunt world, it's very important to have that knowledge.
Yeah. The only one, I mean, there's a few of them, but the one that sticks out the most to me that I really love, well, of course, everything comes back to me because I want to work with Jackie, a person, a woman. I mean, there's other women, but someone who I find very fantastic is Michelle Yeoh. The woman's beautiful. She's older than me. She's, like, just even what she looks like, she's gorgeous, and she's amazing in her stunts. I'm just, like, I'm so blown away by her, but I'm learning more and more, you know, connecting with women that are working on stunts, and I'm like, wow, these women are not just beautiful, but they can do stunts. And that's what gets my attention, not just the actresses, but they're doing the stunts. I'm like, oh, now that's a hot-looking mama.
Extraordinary talent. She has extraordinary talent, and the reason why she can do all these stunts is her martial art background. You know, martial arts teaches you five things: timing, coordination, distance, focus, and it gives you knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And you could bring that into the stunt world because stunts are timing, coordination, distance, focus, and knowledge. You know, that's what stunts are all about. You have to have those things. So having a martial art background is tremendously beneficial.
Yeah, and also safety, too, because I know with anything, because I don't know, maybe I have to learn to write a little better because people won't get my points. I says, you know, to cast and, like, looking, I'm trying to, like, you know, trying to find a way to fund my own film called The Dishwasher. And it's like, there's a lot of good people, good-looking people out there. But the thing is, I'm looking even, you know, even non-union is to cast. I have the cast now, but it's that the actors, they actually do their own stunts with people like Shelley. If you're going to start really getting into making your own film, be very careful because we care about you. We don't want you to get hurt. So it's like you're putting your life in the hands of the people, you know, that are stunt people because it's dangerous. It doesn't matter how good-looking someone is. It's who's got the most experience for your safety. And, you know, speaking of safety and stunts, to get into the next question, what is the most dangerous stunt you've ever done?
I've done a lot of them. Probably the most dangerous is a picture called Revenge of the Ninja. It was my first major stunt coordinating project. And I did a stunt in there 27 stories high. It's a slide for life where I went slid on a cable from one building to another. And,
oh, my God.
We didn't have much time to do that. It was getting dark. And I was up getting ready to do it, and the sun was going down. And the director and the producer, who were wonderful people, but they were kind of upset that the sun was going down, and, you know, we didn't shoot this piece yet. Meanwhile, upstairs, I was arguing with a very close friend of mine, dear friend, named Don Shanks. He used to be the Indian on Grizzly Adams, the TV show Grizzly Adams. He was the Indian.
Okay.
And I got him apart on, I got him apart on Revenge of the Ninja, and he was finished. But I wanted to make him some more money, so I hired him as my safety guy to do this, you know, so he'd get another week on the show. Well, like I said, the sun was going down, and they were bothering me, producer and director, to do it already, you know, cameras are ready. And Don Shanks wouldn't let me. He wanted to test it first. And I'm arguing with him, we have no time, we got to go. Well, yeah, first of all, Don Shanks, years ago, he took first in Toughest Man contest, you know.
Whoa.
Second of all, he was a good friend, very close friend. So I'm being yelled at through the walkie-talkie by my producer and director, and my friend upstairs is telling me he's not going to let me go until he tests it with sandbags. We're going back and forth. Finally, I get on the walkie-talkie, and I tell the producer and the director, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to wait. We're going to test it, you know, and they don't know what's going on upstairs. You know, I mean, it got to where, you know, we almost went into bros, so to speak. We wouldn't never... But, you know, that's how much we were arguing. I couldn't believe that a guy I hired is telling me he wasn't going to let me to do it, right? So I let him have his way. He put 170, I weighed 155 pounds. He put 170 pounds of sandbags on the cable and sent it off, well, about 10 feet, 15 feet into it. The eyeballs broke. So 27 stories into a circus net, which I rigged up 5 stories above the ground, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, falling 22 stories, you know, you probably would have been dead. Well, I looked at him, Don Shanks, that is, and I just went over to him and I hugged him. I almost started crying. Apologized left and right, you know. You know, needless to say, we redid it, set it up, you know, and went on to do it. And believe me, when I had to do it that second time after seeing, you know, what had happened, I was very nervous, but it was very much a success.
Oh, that's
that
good.
That was my scariest moment.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, when you're, maybe I can ask, you know, maybe this can be the next question, but, you know, I was going to ask, you know, do you have a favorite moment on set? But I want to also, besides the favorite moment, I also want to know what was the, like, the scariest moment and also the favorite moment that you've actually had on set. Was that the scariest moment?
That was the scariest moment. Probably my most favorite moment. There's probably two. And I've had a lot of them, but there's probably two, one big and one small. But they both awfully meant a lot to me. The big one was Rima Williams in Adventure Begins. I was the first stuntman that they let perform, do stunts on the Statue of Liberty. And I thought that was pretty cool. You know, that memory is great. Before me, there wasn't any action allowed on Lady Liberty. The second one, which may sound funny to some people, is riding a horse in a movie, getting to play a cowboy. You know, my whole life since I was a kid, I wanted to be a cowboy. And I got to work on a movie called Holes. And I got to play a cowboy and ride a horse and do all kinds of stuff. So, you know, wanting, being a New York street kid, always wanting to be a cowboy, you know, watching Bonanza and The Rifleman and Wanted Dead or Alive and Paladin, all those old TV shows when I was a kid, I wanted to be a cowboy. So, you know, up until Holes, I never got a chance to do stunts or work in a picture that was a Western. And when Holes got up and running, I got invited to play a cowboy. So that was a great moment for me.
Oh, yes. Is that the one with Shia LaBeouf? I think they were digging holes. It was, I think he was in it, wasn't it? Is that the film where there was a bunch of kids in it?
Yes, yes.
In Sigourney Weaver, I think I've seen that. Yes, okay. Now, like, everything you tell me, I have to go back and look for you now. It's just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe how many things I've seen.
Over 35 years, you have the privilege to work, and it's just wonderful to see and do and travel and talk to you know, people. It's the greatest business in the world.
And I cannot believe, because looking at your pitches and talking to you, when you're saying 35 years, I'm thinking like you're close to my age or younger, because I just start seeing to be the age that you're on, not trying to disrespect you. It's just like, how? You sound so young, and I'm sitting, it's like, man, this guy is utterly amazing. I'm going, because, you know, growing up, and I know that you're older than me, but it still doesn't register in my head. I still can't think that you're older than me.
As my friends will attest to, I always say I'm 28 years old. No, but
yes.
I'm really 50, going to be 59.
No, you're not. I am blown away that when you're saying that, because that makes me happy, because when you're saying your age, because, like, people don't like to say if they're older, what makes me happy that you're saying your age and you're doing all this crazy stuff is the fact that people back home in Boston, when I was in my 30s, says, well, you're too old. What's just down on me saying, you're too old to do this. You're too old to that. And it's like, here I am today, and this is like 10 years later. Here you are saying your age. You've been doing it for like 35 years. I'm like, that makes me so happy. It's just, I'm just sitting, bouncing on my bed right now, just like jumping up and down like a monkey.
Never believe what they say. Age does not matter as long as you eat correctly and exercise and stretch out, using exercise as part of it. Stretching out is very important, you know, having some sun, eating well, it's all very important. And, you know, that keeps you physically in shape. So as long as you keep on practicing, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are.
Oh, amazing. I'm so excited. I'm like, I got about 5 more questions to go. I'm just getting more and more excited here. Who have you enjoyed working with on the set?
Who have I worked with on the set?
Yes. Who have you enjoyed the most working with on the set?
Well, that's easy. I have to say James Woods. You know, I've
really?
Been with James Woods for 25 years plus, and he's been so wonderful to me. He's actually like a big brother to me. You know, he's a wonderful man, been so loyal. I owe him an awful lot, and we're friends, and I think of him like a big brother. So, you know, he means a lot to me, and, you know, he's definitely my most favorite, number one.
Yep. Whoa, he probably seems more normal in person, but I got to tell you, he scares me. Because when you're watching him, this is another reason why I can tell you he scares me, is because there's a cartoon where it's crazy. No, I'm telling you the truth about this, because every once in a while I catch a show called Family Guy, this cartoon. Even when he's a cartoon, because I think it's him, he's even scarier as a cartoon. And it's like, if a person Nicholson, who's an actor, is as scary as a cartoon. That's how good of an actor he is. So he just scares me, and I'm like, I don't know if I'd want to meet James Wood in person because he might just scare me being normal.
I promise you, he is the sweetest, nicest guy. He is so easygoing. That's just what he portrays in the movies and on TV shows. But, you know, he is a very, very nice human being. Wonderful. Easy going. You'd be shocked if you met him. He'd talk to you, have a conversation with him. He is such an interesting man. And not only that, but he's literally a genius. That guy is an amazing guy. I've seen him get 25 new pages full of dialogue, you know, and 10 minutes he'd have to memorize it. And he'd memorize it in 10 minutes. He's an amazing guy. Got a photographic memory, and you know, his IQ is way, way up there.
Whoa, that's see, that's what a good actor is, because it's like, it seems like the people that play the bad guys, right? You know, they're like, they're really mean and they kick butt, but it's like in real life they're just normal, regular people. And it's like when people say, well, that person's horrible, like this and that, but that makes them a good actor because they're total opposite, you know, playing what they are in real life. So that means they're a really good actor. So he must be, if James fears me that much, even as a cartoon, he must be a damn good actor.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You're absolutely right.
Okay. All right. So I got three more questions to go. The next one is, have you trained in a martial art? And if so, what are the forms?
Yeah, I've been training in martial arts since I was 8 years old. I started in, you know, Brooklyn, New York. I took Taekwondo. And then when I, right before I came out to California, my family moved out to California, the place closed. So I didn't have a place. And then when I came to California, I was walking down Van Nuys Boulevard, and all of a sudden I saw a kung fu place. And I watched it, and I was fascinated because, you know, in those days it was completely a different style. And I was amazed. And I started, went in there, and that's where I started, which was a place called Serum Kung Fu White Lotus System. And the instructor there, who is my master, named Douglas Wong, one of the best in the world, and that's a fact. And that's how I started. And through, you know, through the years, if you're a black belt and you've been training for so long, all the other styles kind of come easy because you have the knowledge to perform them. So over the years, you get that knowledge and you train with other people from different styles, and, you know, you learn other styles as you're training with different people. And like I said, if you're a martial artist and if you're well-versed and been training for a long time, other styles, you pick up real easy, you know. So whenever you're doing a movie and they want something specific, you have that knowledge. And because you have that knowledge, you're able to do a different style. But my main style, the one that I got brought up in, is like I said, Silam Kung Fu White Lotus System, Douglas Wong. Give him a little info right out there. Call him. He's in California. And if you want to learn martial arts, he's a wonderful guy, one of the best to learn from. You know, his son is a very well-known actor, martial artist, stuntman now, a gentleman called Travis Wong. You know, he's making his way, and he's doing fabulous now. So that's how I started.
I know those names. when you're mentioning stuff and everything you talk about, I was kind of like, I know these names because I know faces. And you got to do your homework, right? You know,
yes,
to know
put
things.
Time. Yeah, you put in time and, you know, you do research, you know, a lot of research. You know, you're in a business, and you should do a lot of research and learn who the people are and try to go see them, and it'll take you very far.
Yeah, I've had problems on sets where, you know, well, you know me, we talked and stuff, and it's like, you know that I'm all into the stunts, and it seems like, you know, I'm mostly related to men. Now, when I've gone on sets, the thing is, you know, it didn't matter what a guy looked like, I would head to the people that would be stunts. Now, it was like, one time I was on a set, and it was, you know, the guy was a boxer, a really good-looking guy. I'm not going to mention names and such. And, you know, I wanted to learn. I wanted to go and just talk about, you know, do you know any about weapons and stuff like that? And there I was having a conversation, and this girl, she thought she was all this hot stuff, whatever, walks in between us, one of the actresses, and I'm going, that was, like, kind of rude because she was like, he was cute, and she wanted his attention. And I'm like, I don't go there on set to, like, you know, it's work. I don't go to hit on guys and stuff like that. And I always hated that. And it's like, but it's kind of funny because he kind of held his own and just, like, kind of pushed her to the side a little bit instead of talking to me more about, like, nunchucks and stuff. And it's like, it seems like, you know, wanting to learn, it seems like there's people out there that don't understand about respecting, about stunts and stuff. If somebody looks a certain way, they figure that's what matters. But I'm there to learn, and it's so hard. So, you know, trying to reach out and find the people, because I'm not considered like a goddess. And not that I'm saying I'm ugly and stuff, but it took me, it takes me so much longer to find people who can find what I have inside because I'm not a cookie cutter. And it's just trying to reach over that and to connect with people is so hard for me because I'm not like this beauty queen. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, I know I'm getting off of that last section, but, you know, just to have people where they're starting to find me for what I have, I feel very humbled, even that you are on my show. I know I've said this a couple of times, but it's like I'm connecting even through you with other people, and I'm like, I'm so floored. I just don't know what to say.
Well, people have to understand there's a lot of personalities out there, and sometimes people are very insecure. You have to overlook that, and as long as you're respectful and you're humble and, you know, in your situation, you kind of drew back, and the stunt coordinator probably saw that, and he respected that, and, you know, if he had common sense, he kind of saw in that second what was going on. So, you know, he was a good enough person to realize it and come back at you and have a conversation with you. You know, when you're a new stunt person, you're going to meet somebody, you have to be very careful that you don't interrupt them, that it's the right time, you know,
yeah,
the right situation. And also, you know, a lot of guys, you know, are too busy to meet new people. You know, so, you know, there's this kind of wall up there. But all in all, most of them are wonderful people. And they will give you the time of day if you know, you go up to them at the right time, the right moment.
Yeah, no, I understand. Like, now, say I understand, because when I first got on the set, and God help me for saying this, but the first set I got on was with The Rock. And it was the very first time, and I was playing an extreme fan, and I was like, you know, I didn't know things. I didn't know any rules, but I went with it, and it kind of just worked with it because I was like, Joe, I kept screaming for him. I'll tell you about that story another time, but remind me on the next show because I still want to get one more question in there, but I'll have to tell you about the time I got on the set because I just want to get this in here. One last question.
Got it.
Do you have any upcoming projects?
Yeah, I'm working on a TV series called Ray Donovan. It hasn't aired yet. One of the stars is James Woods, and he's got a running, occurring role on there. So I'm working on that. And then the end of next month, I'm starting a picture called The Rails Will Turn. And I'm also writing a script called The Resurrection of Joe, starring Michael Dudikoff, and he's my co-writer. And it takes place after American Ninja 25 years later.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry to interrupt, but Michael Dudikoff, American Ninja, that's really him? Yeah, that's right. Oh, my God. I grew up watching those films. Yes. American Ninja.
You're
oh, my right. God.
Yeah, he's a fabulous person. We're writing a script called Resurrection, Joe, and it's 25 years later, 30 years later. Takes place in Afghanistan, Farah, Afghanistan. And he's kind of the Robin Hood of the area, and it's hopefully going to be finished by the end of the year, and we'll see what happens with him, you know, on my side, on board. Wanting to star in it and being the co-writer, I hopefully think we have a good chance.
Oh gosh, is he going to be playing a ninja, or is there any ninjas in it?
Well, it's 25 years later, you know, 30 years later, and he's the American Ninja. And you know, if you remember, if people remember, he went AWOL at the end of the picture. And you know, he comes back. We see him. You know, the whole 25 years, he went to Afghanistan. He's been living as a hermit there. You know, as like I said, a Robin Hood, you know, he robs from the rich and gives to the poor. And I can't say any more, but, you know, it's a really real, it has a great story. It's very important to Michael Dudikoff to have a great story in it. And it tells the philosophies and the histories and what the Afghan people are going through. And, you know, the good side, the bad side, and the ugly side. And that goes for, you know, the army and the good side of the army and the bad side and the ugly side, and they clash. Mm. And it's a very exciting script.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to see it. I don't remember the last time it was in anything, but American Ninja, yeah, I remember it. It's just like something about the 80s films. It's just something where you just got to put on a marathon of them, you know, when it's like cold out, you just get up and cuddle with and just watch them, because it still has that something to them. It's just special, and maybe because I was a kid growing up watching, I'll never forget them.
Well, what's great about this is like I said, it's 25, 30 years later, so the age has come, you know, so you see Michael Dudikoff 30 years later, you know, which he's physically fit, but, you know, there's a major change. It's kind of like the last Rambo that Stallone did, you know, years and years later, he comes back, you know, it's kind of that look as far as, you know, the years and years later, so it's going to be very exciting.
Oh, I can't wait. I would definitely look forward to that. You know, I'm all on that. I can't wait.
Well,
I'll
have to get it sold first.
You'll have to let
me
know.
Have to
like, you have to put the money down. Yeah. Tell me about it. I know it's like we're struggling. The indie film that we're doing, it's a dream come true for me. I'm finally playing a lead. And we're going to have, in a film called Falcare, it's to get, you know, to get money for the film because we want good armor because we've been taking horseback riding lessons and, you know, so many things. But to do that battle and to have armor that doesn't look plastic fake, we want to make it look as real and authentic as possible. My brother, Z, he's just, well, I call him Director Z. His name's Ahura. He does his own music. And I know what you're talking about, money. I'm not a promoter. I just don't know how to get money.
Well, it's different than the 80s. You know, in the 80s, they had independent money people in the movies. These days, it's all run by the movie studios, you know. So there isn't independent people out there like it used to be. Where in the 80s, it was a little bit easier, late 70s, early 80s. It was a little bit easier, so it's a lot different. So it's very tough. But I've got Michael Dudikoff behind me, and hopefully it'll be a good script, and we'll just wait and see what happens.
I can't wait. I for one, will be, definitely, I'll have to see it. I'm just hoping, I'm looking forward to it, yes, to see him how he's doing after all these years. I will be there. I will definitely watch that film.
Well, I think I got a picture of him also on Facebook, so you can.
Yes,
I went out to lunch with him. A week or so ago, you know, and you could see the difference between back then and now. Even though he looks great, he looks just about the same, but we all get a few more wrinkles here and there.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm sad to do, but you guys are still fantastic.
Yes.
In my heart, you guys, since I grew up watching you guys, even if there's young people come in, you guys will always be tattooed on my heart. You'll always have my respect, no matter what, where I go in life. You guys, I grew up watching you guys, and I'll love you guys forever.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, these new young people are terrific. You know, there are a lot of great young people coming in. You know, these Pacquiao people, free runners, these new martial art stunt people that have come in. There's a lot of fantastic people.
Yeah.
I look at what they do, free runners, what they do now in movies, which, you know, basically we used to do, the ninja. In my pictures, we used to do a lot of that, but now they've taken it to the extremes, and it's just wonderful to watch. So, you know, there's a lot of new, great stunt people coming out these days.
Yeah.
So they're exciting to watch.
Yeah, I, for one, I've been connecting with them, like all the next generations, like Jackie Chan's disciple, Jackie Chan's the guy who I hope to work with someday. One scene, I don't want to fight him. And he's actually had disciples. I don't know if you've heard this guy named Sin, EMC Monkeys, but he's the urban ninja. This guy's crazy.
Wonderful talents. They're wonderful talents. Yeah, that's one of the people I haven't worked with yet. I've just about worked with all the actor martial artists in the business, but Jackie, I'd like to work in the future with Jackie and Kane Kazuki, which is Shokujutsu-san.
No, I know that name, the second guy's name. Where is he from? What has he done? What is the name again?
Well, Shokuzuki is a actor that I worked with. He was a star of Revenge of the Ninja and The Domination. And his son was the little kid, his son, in Revenge of the Ninja. He was like 7 years old, five, six, 7 years old. And it's a great memory for me putting together a little kids fight for him on Revenge of the Ninja. And now he's starring in a picture called Revenge of the Ninja now. So it would kind of be a full circle if I worked with him. Worked with him when he was five, six, 7 years old, you know, to work with him now, it kind of be a full circle for me, you know, working with his father and him when he was a little kid. And Jackie's the only one left that I haven't worked with, so someday I hope to work with him.
Me too. That's my dream. The 10 years of everything I'm doing, it's like, I have to say, for my dream of wanting to work with Jackie in one scene, my path has blessed me with many things. If I didn't stay on this path, I wouldn't be sitting here on a radio show talking to you, Steven. So I think I should be thanking Jackie anyway.
Well, see, we have something in common. We both would like to work and haven't worked with Jackie yet. You hear that,
That's
Jackie?
Awesome.
Out there? Keep going.
Yes,
I
me, you, and Jackie.
Lambert.
Yes, that would be awesome. Me, you, and Jackie. I was like, but no, I am very, even though I get all excited, I'm a spaz. Working on set, you can ask my brother Z, I'm so serious. I'm very serious because it's like, you know, we're on a radio show, we're talking, and friends, but when it comes down to it, I am down to business on the set, and I do what I'm supposed to do, and, you know, but Jackie Chan, I mean, my cat's named Jackie Chan, I'm just so excited, I get all giddy like a little girl.
Yeah, I understand. Some people, you get very excited working with.
Yes, this is just how I am, and, you know, being able to, I'm just so thankful and so humbled today, and I don't have any other questions as of right now, but I so look forward to you being on my show a few times, and I'm so glad, and I feel blessed that you're becoming a friend of mine, and I'll be, what do they call the term, perving your Facebook page? what is the term? You look over the Facebook page with all the pictures to call perving the Facebook. What is it called?
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's my honor, and you're my friend, and anytime I would love to come out there and talk on your radio station again. It's my pleasure. I thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and I do believe it was such an honor to speak with you, and we shall be talking again, and you just enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You too. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, well, that was an exciting show. Oh, I do apologize. There is someone, I think, a guest is on the air. I do apologize. There's been people in the chat room. I just got so excited. Before I end the show, this person has been on hold for a little while, so I will bring them on the air. Just give me one moment. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Douglas Wong calling.
Douglas. Hello, my new friend.
How are you?
I'm so fine. I just got caught up talking to Stephen because I was so excited and I just feel so honored. And I'm like, I feel like crying happy tears. And I just, I can't explain it right now. I'm just like, my jaw is to the floor today because it's just like, I can't even, I'm just like, I would have brought you on the air if I was looking. I'm trying to do everything at once. I've been doing the radio show for a year, but I'm such a tech-tard that I'm running as I'm going because they're like, okay, Shelly, you're running this. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? So I'm sitting here, and the number on here, it said 11111. So it didn't look like a regular telephone number, and I've had people that have cranked my shows with all the numbers that say 11111. So I was like, I want to let Stephen talk. I don't want anyone to harass them, so if it's a harasser, I'll bring them on afterwards. So my apologies to you, Douglas.
Oh, no problem. It was a great show. Great show. I listened to the whole thing, so I just want to say hello to Steve. I'm sure he's still listening. So, he's got another project coming up also that he didn't mention. That's White House Down, and that's coming up. He's fighting Jamie Foxx. He sets up the fight scene in there also, so that's coming out next month.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep, he didn't get to mention that.
Well, Douglas, do you have a few minutes? I know everyone's busy.
Oh, yeah.
I thank you for calling in because you friended me on the Facebook, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, now, who is this? He looks familiar. And I've been trying to be careful because I've been connecting more and more because I've been doing my homework for 10 years. This is something that hasn't happened to me overnight, and I've struggled with trying to find the right people to connect with because, you know, I've been doing indie films, and I'm looking for people to take me seriously. And you friended me, and I'm going, I know this guy somehow, some way. So I'm looking on your Facebook, and Stephen mentioned, I was like, oh, Douglas, going to go, oh, this must be a real guy then, because people, they do weird things on Facebook. And I'm looking, and I'm going, you're sitting next to James Lowe, and I says, there's something I know you from. And it's going to hit me once I'm going through your Facebook page, and I didn't get to go through it. I says, he looks like he's a martial artist. He could be a stuntman. And I'm like, I know this guy from somewhere. And it's going to hit me. I mean, can you elaborate? How would I know you? There has to be a reason why I know you, Douglas.
I'm not sure. I've been around for quite a few years. I started, I was David Carradine's first instructor on the original Kung Fu pilot film. So that's when I came in the movie business. And so I did that, and I also did about, I was doing 4 TV series for Universal Studios, Renaissance Pictures. I did Hercules. I trained Kevin Sorbo for that, and I trained Lucy Lawless for Xena, and I trained Ryan Gosling for Young Hercules, and Gina Torres for her series was Cleopatra 2525. So I've been in the business back and forth doing many different things, and Steve happened to be one of my students. Him and James Liu and also Albert Leong. So you always see those guys around also. So those are my 3 successful stories. Now my son is into it now. They were just on, not too long ago, he mentioned Travis Wong. Him and my wife was on G.I. Joe 2. And my wife was the one. Yep, she's the,
really?
She was the lady in the white wig fighting.
Okay, I'll have to watch. I haven't seen it yet, but I'll have to watch it. What was she doing in G.I. Joe 2?
She brought, I forget his name now, one of the guys' character back to life, and she's also does a big fight scene on there. And, you know, you're talking about age and why, she's 57, and she's still doing stunts and fighting and everything else. So, you know, check her out. And my son's one of the 5 red ninjas that's fighting on the mountainside. You always see the commercial on that. Yeah, so that's Travis. Yeah.
I get so excited. I'm like, I hope I'm not yelling in your ear because I love ninjas. You know why I get so excited is because I had to keep the stuff quiet most of my life.
Right.
And it was like, I don't want to be the Barbie. I wanted to be the ninja. But it just didn't seem normal. So it's like, not until like in my late 30s, like I got into training a little bit in martial arts, but living in Boston, people were saying, you're getting old. And you're, you know, it's not normal to like martial arts, and I love Jackie Chan and want to work one scene with him, not to fight him. It's just my dream, and I've been working on this for 10 years, and I had left Boston, and I only took my clothes because I was like, I had an opportunity to leave, and it seems like it's just a change where it's like, so I'm staying on this path, like, Steven and John Crane came on my show and other people, and you're here, and I'm going, I'm just so floored, and I'm just like, I want to cry because it's like something off my chest. This is why I'm such a spaz, and I'm like, you called in on my show? And I'm just like, no, am I dreaming? Because just don't wake me up. Don't wake me up. I'm just, you're talking about ninjas on the side of the mountain and stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to fall off my bed here. I'm just going to pee my pants. I'm just like, you know, I'm just so excited. I'm like, thank you so much for calling in. And I mean, have you done any acting? Have you done stunts yourself? I know you said you teach, but did you do anything
adult? I've been in a few movies, but my main thing is working behind the scenes. You know, I don't really, I'm not one of those who want to get in front of the camera, but I've done a few things. I trained Jason Scott Lee for Dragon, also me and Steve worked on that project there also. So he didn't know anything. We started from scratch, how to bend, how to kick, how to punch, and all this kind of stuff. So we started him from rock bottom. So he was in the studio for 6 months before he got into the movie.
Oh, can I tell you something really special?
Sure.
Why that film is special to me? It's one of my favorite all-time films.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you remember the part when Jason Scott Lee was sitting down and his boss sat him down and told him to pick a good path or a bad path, and he was working as a dishwasher, right?
Right.
He sat down and he says, well, if you don't use, in other words, if you don't pick a good path, I could always use a good dishwasher. Well,
right.
What I took, that the dishwasher is the title for a film that once I get the more money for it, for my film is called The Dishwasher.
Oh, okay.
And it's about a woman where I'm taking my dream and actually put into the film where it's like, I'm a dishwasher, the name of the title is The Dishwasher, where I got it from that film. That's where I got the title from it. And, you know, I dream of working with Jackie Chan, and I fall asleep, wake up, and there's a little kind of fight scene going on with some bad guys. And that's where I got it from, that film, from that scene. And I'm just like, here I am, and Stephen worked on it, and you worked on it. I'm going, my God, I feel like a little kid right now.
I had a guest role on there. I was, when Jason was there, asked him to be Bruce Lee, so in the background, I'm back there doing some, striking on some pads and different things. You'll see my banner back there, White Lotus Kung Fu, so you have to go back and look at the DVD, but I'm in that
one.
What part is that in?
Because I might remember it.
Yeah, when he walks out of the ring after he defeats the guy in the ring, then he walks out there and the producer asking about doing the show, Bruce Lee. That was Robert Wagner, I think it was, that came up and talked to him. So in the background, you'll see me back there.
I'm going to look. After I get off the show, I'm going straight, and I'm going to have to pull it up and look. And I'm going to write on your Facebook wall and go, I saw it. Watch when I find it. I'm finding you back again on Facebook. You did it now.
Yep. Yeah, you go to my Facebook. I got about 7 different albums, and I got all the different pictures and stuff from my martial art background and all the different people I train and movies and stuff. So it's all in there. So you can go back into my Facebook and check it out. And go into the albums, and you'll see them all there with Wesley Snipes, with Sinbad, and all that stuff. You know, so there's quite a few different people there.
Yes, there's another thing too. I saw a picture. It's like, I love James Liu, but there's one person where everybody I see gets to meet is one of my Capoeira brothers. It's Mark DeCastro. Oh, my gosh, you don't even understand. Because of that man, I got into, I was training a little bit in capoeira. My martial arts nickname is Pojo Arrows, which means humble clown. And before training, I would play only the strong. I had a DVD. I used to play it.
Right.
And I'm like, I just loved it. And I'm going, everybody's got a picture of Mark and James beside it. And then I see Mark and says, this is just, oh, my God, what a tease for me. I'm going, everybody's got a picture with Mark but me.
I know Mark since he was a young kid, but I knew his dad, you know, in the martial arts. So we go way back, you know, over 40 years. So I know Mark, you know, when he was real young, you know. So I've seen him grow up. I've seen Ernie Reyes Jr. the same thing, because I know his dad before, too, before they even got into the movies. So that was back when they were living up in the Bay Area, San Jose and all that. And, you know, I go way back with a lot of these people. Chuck Norris, I know him before he got in the movies. Steven Seagal before he got in the movies. You know, we're all martial artists. So that's how we all met. But, you know, since that time period, they all had their success getting into the movies and doing different things like that.
Wow. I'm glowing right now. I'm just, this is better than a cup of coffee. I'm just like, wow, you just made my whole weekend because this is stuff that I love.
Yeah, I'll give you another story since you like Jackie Chan so much.
Okay.
I met him quite a few times. My brother was his best man at his wedding. So they go back and forth all the time traveling to China, you know, a couple times a year. So, you know, he lives out in Beverly Hills. My brother, if you've ever seen any of the MTV special where they have Jackie on there, my brother's the one always standing behind him, his friend. They're always yanking him there. That's Curtis Wong. Big, tall Chinese guy. He's about 6'1". So that's Jackie.
I bet
him,
I know who he is.
Yep,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So
I don't know what to say. I'm so floored. It's just like, I'm just so happy that I'm living today. I'm just so happy because hearing these stories, you just don't know, but you telling me these things, I'm just like, I'm so thankful to be alive today. I'm going to go out and hit the ground today because I'm so floored after everything I've gone through so many years, and just to sit and just to talk to people like you on a radio station or even on the phone or Facebook, I'm just like, you know, people just go through things in their life, and now I keep trying to inspire people because you guys helped me. Even just talking to me with people said, I have this dream, and people are so against me. I said, remember, I left Boston. I had no clothes. I left everything behind with what I was going through. I didn't know what was going to happen in my life, and now I am. You know, I pay my own bills. I have my own little place. I live in peace. And there are all these people, I think it's the universe, and putting it out there. People are coming to me, and I'm not a psychic. I didn't know these things would happen. People say, Shelly, keep putting it out there. The right people are coming. And some days I'm going, why am I here? And it's like people say, just keep holding on because don't give up, because if you give up, that's the moment where the miracle can happen. And I'm sitting here going, today is a miracle for me. I'm sitting here going, I can't even explain it. I can't even talk. I feel like Beavis from Beavis and Butthead. I'm just like, just going on and on. And I am glowing. I have no makeup and stuff on. I'm glad no one can see me. I'm sitting here in my pajamas on the radio show, and I'm sitting here going, this just like, but I'm glowing. And I feel alive because I had pneumonia and a run down, and it's like, I'm just like, I just feel so happy today. And it's like, it's not nothing. It's just, this is my happiness to be able to relate to people. And and when they say money can't buy happiness, I know money helps pay the rent. But like this is like just a blessing for me. And I'm just
definitely
bouncing off the wall. So thank you so much for friending me. People say, Shelly, the people will come. They will talk to you and stuff. I go, no, you know, because my self-esteem was so bad. And it says, I'm nobody. And I'm like, you know, I'm not a beauty queen. Who's going to look at me and stuff? And that's how bad my self-esteem is. Like, Shelly, you have that thing inside. You have that energy that people want to see. And I'm like, I keep trying to promote it and showing it. And they're like, Shelly, every single day you fight. And this is like something that I've been doing for 10 years every single day. I mean, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, but You guys are the ones that I've looked up to my whole life. I know that there's a whole generation. I'm in the middle. There's people that are older than me and there's people younger than me, but I'm in the middle. So
right.
I respect all around, but the people, the older generation, like you guys will always be in my heart because I grew up watching you guys doing that stuff, and no matter where I go in life, you guys will always be tattooed in my heart. And I love every single one of you guys. I will always show respect to.
Yeah, well, now you know, my son is one of the newer generation now, so follow him, Travis Wong, and now he's also got quite a few different projects he's working on. So he opened up a big gym in Reseda. It's 10,000 square foot. It's called JAM, J-A-M, Joining All Movements. You can check that out, joiningallmovement.com.
Cool.
And we have a full gymnastic floor and everything. That's what we teach the free running, the parkour. We have martial art training there. We have a dance studio built in. So we do work with all the different entertainment field. We have all the people come from American Best Dance Crews, Dancing with the Stars, and all this. You know, every night there's some celebrity out there working out somewhere. They're working on different movie projects. So we have what's called Open Gym at night from 8:30 to 11 o'clock. And people just bring in their groups and work on different movie stuff, their stunts, whatever they have. Because, you know, we have everything, the gym bags, this, that, all the equipment they can use. So they come out there and work out. So we have quite a few people that come out there. We had the Kung Fu Panda stage show. There was did all the tryouts there. We did Captain America 2 was started there,
oh.
And they just filmed that a couple weeks ago. My son was in that one, and he was in Super Ninja, that kids show on cable TV, and he plays the robot and also a bunch of ninja scene. But go check out his website. He's got so many different places that he plays the ninja. So if that's what you're into, he's the modern day ninja now. So he's also just finished his 24th national commercial, so he's done quite a bit. And he played one of the ninjas in, I forget, one of those phone ones that he did. But, yeah, check out his site. He's got quite a few. He's doing so many different things. Now he's going to start producing and directing also. He's only 27, you know, so he's just starting out, but he's hitting it hard. So since he graduated from college about 4 years ago, I've had him working in the business. You know, I connect him all to different guys like Jeff Yamada. He's known Jeff since he was a young kid, Uncle Jeff. So he's worked quite a bit with him on different projects and things. So he's on his own now. He's doing quite well, quite well.
Oh, wow. I'm going to check him out after I get off the show here. I'm going to go to your Facebook. And what's it called? Peep or perv, your Facebook? What's the terms? I don't know. I'm not up with terms. This is when you're checking someone's, it's some perverted term that they're using.
I don't even know all the different terms on there. I just started on Facebook trying to realize, you know, I said, I got to get into this modern technology and figure out what's going on here. So, hooked up with a lot of different people there, you know, people I haven't seen in years. So, it's pretty nice, you know, on Facebook. You know, you get to talk with people, get pictures, and get to meet up with different people doing different things. You know, so we've been doing a lot of different projects for the Martial Art History Museum. So there's a lot of different things down there. Well, you know, from the movies, we have down there the hat that Billy Jack wore. So it's down there. And we have a costume from Elvis Presley, and we have different things down there. So if you ever get to Burbank, check out the Martial Arts History Museum. There's many, many different things. They have me up there, you know, training Xena and Kevin Sorbo and different things like that. And it's a nice little thing. They're slowly growing. But I did a project with, we had a book fest over there. So I was with John Crane the other about 2 weeks ago. So we're out there.
That's awesome. I had him on my show. I had Johnny on my show.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. Yeah. We talked about different things, you know, about his stunts and stuff like that. And, you know, he had a stunt book. So I was there with Leo Fong, Cynthia Rothroff. She was down there with us, and Eric Lee, and you know, Leo Fong, and a bunch of other guys. You know, there's quite a few of us that we know each other for, you know, over 40 years, so we go way back. So it was a little something that we put together and just do once a year. So, you know, yeah, check that out also. So check out the History Museum, you know, but you'll see it on my Facebook. I'm connected with a lot of those guys. And you'll catch a lot of people. You might be able to, you know, pull onto your show and stuff. You know, there's a lot of.
Oh, this is awesome. Thank you so much. I'll post the show on your, if that's okay, after I'm done and it uploads, I'll post the show onto your Facebook page. And
great.
When you go on, you just click on there. And I would like to officially maybe invite you as a future guest on my show too, Douglas.
Sure, no problem. That'd be great. That's no problem. You know, I've done quite a few radio shows, so it's no problem. I enjoy talking. No problem at all. So, yeah, I just wanted to call and say hello to Steve, but, you know, he's off. That's fine. I'm sure he's still listening, or I'll talk to him later. We're supposed to have lunch soon, so. We've been putting it off for a couple of months. We've been too busy back and forth, each of us. So.
Yes, I understand that.
But, get ready to see his new movie coming out, you know, White House Down. Jamie Foxx is one of the stars in it, so he's doing a big fight scene on there, and he choreographed that, so that's coming up. He's got a few other things coming up also, so not sure yet what the titles are on the different movie, but he said he was going to put me back in there and do a couple of things on his new movie.
Oh,
so, okay, I'm ready anytime.
Sweet. I'll be looking forward to it.
Yeah, so I'm doing that, and I'm supposed to be working on, in case Jet Li comes back, we're supposed to be working on a project also. So he's back in China right now doing a few things. So So, you know, I got my hands here and there in different things. I don't do as much as I used to, but, you know, right now I'm leaving it just my wife and my son, let them handle all the movie things. You know, I just sit back, you know. And if I need training, I'm helping them in the background scenes, that's all.
That's awesome. That's still awesome because it's like it does count, like, even when you're behind the scenes, because if it wasn't for people like you, you know, the movie wouldn't be that great. And I always say, because it's like, you know how they show all the actors and they seem to get all the, you know, the camera time and stuff. But for me, the big deal is it's the stunt people. I like the stunt people more than the actors. People think I'm crazy, but it's because of you guys. You know, you guys make the actors look good, and even though that's all making the point is to make them look like they know, you know, that they're doing the things in the stunts. But you guys, I give you guys a lot of props, and I respect you more than I do the actors. I mean, that's just me because I love the stunts. I love it. Even if I can't do it, I sit there and I'm going, you guys are awesome.
Well, that's how I work with a lot of actors. You know, like Kevin Sorbo and Lucy Lawless, for their role, they did a lot of their own stunts. And when I first got them, you know, they didn't know any martial arts or anything. And so what I do, I always find out what type of sports they play, what things they like to do, what are their hobbies. And from there, I put the martial art movements to something that they know. Like Kevin did a bunch of football, so he knew how to row and how to do this stuff. So I said, okay, no problem. And he played tennis. So that's why I put a weapon in his hand, show him, you know, you cut it this way, this way. This is like a front hand. This is a back hand. You turn it this way with an angle of a sword, but you have an edge on it. And, you know, and that's how I did. And Lucy, the same thing. I taught her everything right hand, and she sit there and meditate for a couple of minutes, and then she yanked the weapon out and put it in her left hand, and she was doing the same thing. I said, oh, my goodness. She has brains on her. So some of these actresses are great, you know, actors and actresses. They have to know everything. That's why they're talented. They got into the movies for that. They could have danced. They could have did so many different things. So they have to have that natural talent. And you have to pull it out of them, especially with martial arts. You don't have that much time to train them, you know. Like I say, Jason was 6 months. That's heaven, you know, have anybody train for 6 months. But, you know, you, sometimes only 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or a month, and you got to make them look good, you know. So that's why I try to find out, you know, what they have, what their body abilities are doing, and then adapt it to them. And that's why they look so natural. So that's the first thing. You have to train them how. That's it.
That's a good thing. And I do thank you once again for, you know, Douglas, for coming on my show. And I'll send you a message, and we'll try to get on the show so I can have a really great interview with you.
Okay, sounds great. No problem. I'll let you continue on with your show. And, just Facebook me, and we'll set it all up.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling. I do appreciate it. I hope you and Stephen have a good lunch today.
Okay, thank you. You have to take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. This has been the best show ever that I had. I mean, it's just like, it's such a great Sunday. What? I can't even talk. I just lost my words. That's very hard for Shelly to check to say I lost my words, but I'm just so floored right now. I feel so humbled, and I just want to cry. It's just like, you know, when you get just everything I've gone through, I just feel so special today. I feel so humbled. It's just, like, amazing, and I'm just so thankful, you know, Stephen has been a guest on my show, and Douglas Long for just calling in, and anybody can listen to the show anytime. And to the people out there that have dreams, you know, whatever it may be, you just remember me, Shelly Nunchucks, because people said that I couldn't do things and saying that because you're getting older, you know, it's impossible, whatever you like. And as you know, anybody that knows has been listening to the show, my dream is to work with Jackie Chan. And somehow, some way, I know I'll work with Jackie. It's just one thing. I don't want to fight Jackie. I mean, everyone knows I have great comedic skills. I got paid to do dinner theater, comedy improv, and I think I might be working with Sean Rourke, who actually, I've worked in dinner theater quite a few times. I think we might do a startup company and do dinner theater again, but, you know, it is locked down my Saturdays for Falcare, and if anybody would like to help, you know, donate money, you can go to Falcare, the Facebook site, and message Z. Because right now we're in the middle of designing the armor for the big battle scene. I mean, there's some other filming we still have to do, but the battle scene itself, as you know, it's going to take us, the training and everything going to it, because we're not having any stunt doubles. And I've worked with Z, let me say that, you know, working with a horse, according to Lisa, when he gave me my big chance and people said, no, I couldn't do it. No. I mean, he's lost some weight and he's been training and stuff, but the first time I did a fight scene, I have to give it to Z, big guy and stuff like that. And I said, no one wants to give me a chance. And he's like, really? And he goes, well, I got a surprise for you. You're going to fight me. And I'm all excited and all ecstatic. And then I'm thinking, wait, I've never done really a fight scene before. And this guy who's like twice the size of me, like a brick wall, he's like, I'm going to fight him. And I'm going, uh-oh, be careful what you wish for because it might come true. And the very first day when we did the fight scene for Anna Kriya, and let me tell you, I was wrapped up like a ninja. I couldn't see. It was very cold. I was in Fort Williams. And Z's like, come on, Shelly, fight me. And I'm like, I don't want to hit you. He goes, come on, Shelly, fight me. This is what you want. I'm going, we're not supposed to hit each other. And he goes, no, hit me. I can take it. And so he had to get me really mad for me to do it. And he took me the very first time he threw me. Let me say, we didn't have any pads or no mattresses or nothing. He threw me. I hit the ground. I bounced off the ground. It's not in the film, but I went, oh. And when I hit the ground, I'm going, this hurts. It really hurts. And it's like, I got up and I looked at him. And if you could see the look on my face, I'm going, oh. And he goes, this is what you want, Shelly. So he just goes, come on, hit me. And I'll have to put the fight scene up on Facebook. I put it up privately because it's just like, it was a wake-up call. And I'm trying to hit him with the nunchucks and I'm coming at him. And he just kept throwing me and it just hitting the ground. And that less than a minute scene, it took us hours to film. And just let me say, that was a wake-up call to me. But he gave me the chance. And he let me do a fight scene when no one else would give me a chance. And now here we are. Still been filming self-care every single Saturday. And, you know, I was kind of sick and stuff, but I'm feeling a lot better. And Saturday, I'm going to have to be back on set. And we're going to have to this summer, you know, do that battle scene. So once again, if anybody, you know, has a dream out there and people say that you cannot do it, take it from me that you can. Do not let anybody stop you from your pursuit of happiness because you're the one, it's your path. And as I began the show, I began with a song called Battle Song. And it actually is from our film called Valkyr. It's Horace Accord Deliza and his beautiful, lovely wife, Sonari, who are singing the song. There's no alto in this. This is them. And he wrote the music himself. So I am going to end the show with Battle Song. Remember, this song, it is part of an indie project called Valkyr. I'm one of the lead Valkyries, and we're five different women, and we are strong. We come from different time periods, and my period is kind of like Rosie the Riveter, you know, coming in. It's kind of like, you know, how Jackie Chan does not want to fight, but it can fight. So that's like the type of character I am, and my voice is starting to crack, so I think I've been on the air long enough. Once again, Stephen, thank you so much for being a guest. And Douglas, thank you so much for calling in. I feel so lucky and blessed. Thank you. Thank you, God. I'm not trying to push my nobody beliefs upon anyone, but thank you, God. Thank you so much for giving me life and being here today. I just feel so blessed and so honored. And everybody else, you enjoy your Sunday afternoon. Remember, anybody that has a dream, just remember, you are as good as anybody else. So everybody enjoy your Sunday, and I shall be talking to you. Everyone, have a good day. I try.